to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete, singing glory to his name. I'm singing glory to his name. What a wonderful name.
Lasting Arms, Kia G.
Amen. Amen.
45.
45.
In the Only Believe.
Only Believe. Yeah. Yeah.
Walk in this building.
Yeah.
We looked at years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We looked at years ago. And now
man.
Brighter than
yeah. Yes, brother. Yeah.
You know, just reading in there the dynamics.
Yeah.
You know, people don't understand. It's not just the word.
No. No. It's just for
that's
the
right.
Brother.
You have to have the dynamics.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh,
yes, yes, yes.
Come on.
I have God for the
amen.
Right.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
Right.
Amen.
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 Amen. Not much of a voice. There's times I couldn't lift my arms.
Right.
Amen.
But
I'm great. Yes, you can. All that you do.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Sing page 9 and the only belief. It's feeling so much better. Page 9.
Feeling so much better.
It's key of F.
Amen.
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 I know it.
John don't remember.
It's all right.
Mom.
All right.
You see it, it's yours.
Amen.
It's more than belief.
That's right.
Yeah,
it
amen,
is
it
than
is.
Than
you don't remember saying that. You've been under
that anointing.
Yeah, I wasn't here.
It was under that anointing.
They didn't know that at all. You remember?
I remember just one, but I don't remember all the details.
It's been with me ever since.
Amen.
Amen.
I've been having my eyes on
him.
I'm looking for
something.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Come on now.
That's right. That's right.
That's good.
Right.
I want to do something for
yes,
him.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah.
We get in the way.
That's right.
Do it.
Amen.
Come on now.
Get out of the way.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen to that.
Whatever you ask him,
I believe
that. Whatever you ask him, he'll do it. He promised it.
He promised it.
Right.
You ask him, he'll do it.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's what he said. That's what he said.
John got me down the third.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Get down, John.
Amen.
I am.
Amen. 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 Praise God. You know, the Bible says they do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think.
Yeah.
You know, that should spur us on. That should get us asking for a thing or two.
Right.
You know, we know what to ask for in this day.
Amen.
You know, it's not a Cadillac and $1 million.
No.
You know, Hattie Wright taught us that.
Amen.
But, Lord, I just want to see you.
Amen.
Just nothing but you. You know, the greatest thing a wife could do for a husband is just simply want to see him. You know, she's there. You know, we're going to get ready to talk about headship, I guess. But I've been thinking on it a little bit. You know, we cut our teeth on headship. That's Brother Childers was the headship preacher.
Amen.
When I came here, that's all he talked
amen.
About. And that's all we needed at
amen.
The time. You know, if you ain't got headship, you ain't going to listen. You're going to go your own way.
That's
you're going
right.
to, you know, we got to listen to what God's saying.
Amen.
Listen to what our husband's saying. You know, it's perfect type.
Amen.
But, you know, if I can get myself out of the way. See, I'm here to fulfill his will. You know, a wife's there. You know, a wife takes a man's name for a reason. She becomes him.
Amen.
Now, you space, she was Mrs.,
right.
You know, my wife would be Mrs. Donald Deskins.
Right.
You know, her name wasn't even there other than she's the feminine part.
Right.
You know, how they used to say it. Now you can't say it. Back against the law to say it.
Right. Right.
But, you know, it doesn't change the truth.
Right.
And the bride's here to fulfill his word. Fulfill his will. And I don't want to let none of my shortcomings, let none of my thinking get in the way. I want to die to every bit of it when I come before him. You know, I don't have time for it. The devil mess. I don't care nothing about no devil. God's got the devil took care of. His days are numbered.
Amen.
The devil can buzz, but he's got no sting. You know, I was singing that song. It was talking about how that, I forget what it said. No fear, no. What a peace. Yeah. What a peace is mine.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing to fear, nothing to dread. He's got it all. Even if you think about, well, what if he takes one of your loved ones? What if he takes your wife? What if he takes your husband? That'll be so far in the past once we step 1 foot over there. And he's got that too. It's not without a reason. It's not without a purpose. You know, some, I don't know, some of them just too good. He takes them home early or something. I'm not sure what the deal is. But, you know, he knows all that. He's got all that. It's all for a purpose. And, you know, he raises up a standard every time. You know, we got our feelings here in the flesh, you know, and we got our problems and things, but I'm not going to focus on that. I'll focus on his word. I'll focus on what he said. You know, like the song says, if the Lord says I'm a blessing, I am. If he says I'm strong, I'm strong. He says I don't need to take down for the devil, I don't need to take down for the devil. You know, there's never been a bride as strong as this bride right here today. And I haven't seen the whole world over, but this is the strongest body I know of. Because I know what they sit under. You know, you sit under nothing but unadulterated truth from day one. You've come here. And that, oh, man. You know, sometimes we act like we're spoiled, and I guess we are. But, you know, you don't act like it all the time. You know, show a little appreciation. Show a little praise. But I praise him for what he's done. You know, and I ain't got time to sit there and worry about what I did and what I didn't do. I would rather focus on what he's going to do and what he has done and where he's brought me from. I praise him for that.
Feeling so much better, talking about this good old. I am feeling so much better, talking.
Better when I'm talking about this good old.
You know. much better. We're talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Let's go on talking about this good old Lord. Let's go on. Let's go on talking about the Lord. That old devil, he don't like it. Talking about this good old, that old devil, he don't like it. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Let's go on. Talking about this good old, let's go on. Let's go on. Talking about.
Amen. That's the deal. Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Beautiful
fellowship.
Amen.
Praise Him in advance. It's key of F, page 227 in the choruses.
Of course.
We'll get the preacher up.
Praise Him in advance.
Yes, yes. What He's gonna do.
I've had my share of ups and downs, times when there was no one around. God came and spoke these words to me. Praise will confuse the enemy. So I started singing, I started clapping, I started dancing. People were laughing. They knew my problems, they knew my pain, but I knew God would take them away. That's why I praised Him with my hands. That's why I praised Him with a dance. He's given me a second chance. Come on, let's praise Him in advance. I've had my share of ups and downs, times when there was no one around. God came and spoke these words to me. Praise will confuse the enemy. So I started singing, I started clapping, I started dancing. The people were laughing, they knew my problems, they knew my pain. But I knew God would take them away. That's why I praise Him with my hands. And that's why I praise Him with the dance. He's given me a second chance. Come on, let's praise Him in advance. That's why I praise Him with a song. When things are right and when they're wrong, He's given me a second chance. Come on, let's praise Him in advance. I've had my share of ups and downs.
For these things so that they could belong to us. Thank you for your many blessings, Lord, for all that you do for us.
Thanks.
Most importantly, thank you for a revelation. Thank you for that translator, so to speak, the one that quickens the word to us, that makes it real to us, that gives us a clear understanding. Thank you for that more than anything, for eternal life, for letting us know who we are. Lord, we're here again tonight. Lord, thank you for another opportunity. Have your way. Talk to us, speak to us. Lord, I can turn the pages of the Bible open, but only you can really preach and give us what we need. Use that gift the way that you want to use it, Lord. Get us out of the way and have your way. Bless your bride around the world. Continue to move on behalf of the prayer cloths, Lord, and the request. Oh, Lord, I can list 20 things here, but you know them all. Lord, they all mean something to you because your body's asking for them. You said, ask and it shall be given, Lord. And we believe that you've already paid for these things. Thank you for all you've done for us. Have your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back. Good to be here this evening. You know, slow down and do a few of the announcements here because I haven't really said them out loud in a while. But not this Sunday, but the next. I think it's February 12th. I'm invited over to Lisa's and I, my house, for some fellowship. And do what we do every year. We're going to watch the Super Bowl, but we'll fellowship too. So that'll be a good time. And then I travel down to my dad's church on March 9th now, not the 23rd, and then the 17th, we're going to get together and do some more fellowship, and we'll do some bowling and hang out together there too and have a good time. So keep those things in mind and pray for the saints. Looking and believing, you know, we had a good service on Sunday, and the word being the most important thing, but the anointing and the spirit was moving on Sunday. Really enjoyed that service. Enjoy watching God move. You know, enjoy hearing from God, but I even just watching him move in his body. And he just started that service. Brother Moore couldn't hardly start preaching because that anointing was so strong. And sometimes you sit back. You know, we all probably react different ways in a good way, but I just get amazed at how God breaks this thing down to us and how clear he's made it to us. I'm thankful for that, to have a revelation of the hour. Thankful for the truth. Thankful for the ministry that we have here. You know, Brother Dustin, I'm thankful for the Son of Man ministry. And, I'll say this because sometimes people misunderstand you. They'll think, well, you think you're the only ones. No, I think the Son of Man ministry is in the Bride of Jesus Christ around the world. Son of Man ministry is in the Bride of Jesus Christ around the world. But my experience with the Son of Man ministry is right here. So that's where I can talk from. That's where I can back my mail from. And I thank God that I have been around the Son of Man. I really do mean that. Because it's just another way to say the opening of the seals happened. It brought a balance. You know, the opening of the seals revealed the first of church age. But what the opening of the seals also revealed is the Son of Man's on the scene. And I'm thankful for the ministry of the Son of Man. Now, what's interesting about it is ever since I've been around it, and even before I had my new birth, because I started going to church here at 8 years old, the Son of Man was oftentimes more in trouble than he was not. I was just thinking about it a little bit. You know, you think, you're talking about headship. Son of Man would come down and talk about headship and following leadership, you know, headship in the home, but not just even in your home. I mean, how to follow a leader to church, how to listen to your pastor, how to listen to those that have authority over you, how to listen to your boss. It wasn't a popular message. Not everybody likes to follow. You know, we do have a choice to serve God. God doesn't force us to do anything. On the other side of that coin, we think we have a choice sometimes and run away from what God's really telling us to do. When really the way leadership works, when God asks you to do something, you're supposed to go do it. You know? And so man got in trouble. And then I can remember Brother Neil and God putting him into heaven. And we started preaching grace, you know, maybe a word I'll use a little stronger than we had preached it before. It didn't make that, the Son of Man didn't get popular off that message, Brother Dustin. It actually, people started getting scared of you. Preached one, the coming of the Spirit, two, souls or change of the soul, three, rims. Wasn't a popular message. Matter of fact, they'd look at the Son of Man and say, you're just trying to get away with something, or you're preaching too much liberty, or you're taking too much authority upon yourself. And then I remember the Son of Man coming here. You want to see God? Look right here. Amen. I'm just thinking about progression, man. And people would look at you and say, you're taking too much upon yourself. You're making yourself equal with God. So and just getting in trouble, so to speak. Yet it's nothing but the truth. It was the truth the whole time. It was the word right down the line the entire time. But people didn't know how to, I guess, grow into it or step into it. I got a quote here tonight. I plan on reading, Lord willing.
Brother Branham said it was hard for those Pharisees to die to the law and step into grace. And it was hard for people to die from the Son of God ministry, so to speak. And it's not that the Son of God ministry is wrong. That's not what I'm saying. It just was, it changed from Son of God to Son of Man. And it was hard for people to step from one to another. They still wanted to have an unseen force versus God standing right in front of you in human flesh, talking to you face to face, saying, when you hear from me, you hear from God. God can use me to tell you to do something. They didn't like that. They'd rather go to their prayer closet and get a feeling that would almost make them feel good and do the things that made them happy versus God sometimes come in here and ask for the near impossible. But it wasn't popular. Then God, Son of Man, had the nerve to come in here and say, take your loved ones with you. Now, what I'll say, I'll go back. Some people speak about the one kind of spirit more freely now. And not everybody in the message even does this, but there's a lot more now that will start trying to put God in them, start talking about having the voice of God in them. They progress some. Thank God they have. But, man, this other man in the ministry I've been around, it wasn't popular. They'd tell you to take loved ones when it felt like nobody else thought you could take your loved ones. But I'm thankful that I've been around a ministry like that that taught me to take authority, that taught me how to be a man, that taught me not to be afraid of the devil, that told me that when he put condemnation on me, I could send him on his way. That's the kind of ministry I've been around, and I'm much stronger for it. I'm used to it now. I'm used to you not liking me now. I'm used to you not thinking I'm popular now. But I'm much down the road. I thank God for that kind of ministry. It's helped us more than we even know how to give it credit for. Somebody step on the scene and say, you don't got to be afraid. Afraid to move. Marriage and divorce. I thank God for the Son of Man ministry on that thing. Because I won't even talk about that. You know those people back there, they were worried about the condition they found themselves in. Because they could read the written word. And the written word clearly says, if you've been married before, and you're a woman, and you get divorced, and you have a living husband, and you marry again while you have a living husband, you're an adulterer. I can also read in the written word that an adulterer is not going to make it to heaven. Those people read that written word, and they were afraid, Brother Moore. That's why they were sincerely asked about it. And I won't stop here. There was a time in my life that the best I could do was come to church here. And I thought if you were caught in that condition, that you were in trouble. Brother Childress thought the same thing. Because one day he finally got up behind the pulpit, and he said, I got one more law to drop. And it's the marriage and divorce law. Thank God the Son of Man talked to us. Thank God the Son of Man said, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't be afraid to move. God's made a way. Oh, that don't happen just everywhere. That happens when you get somebody that can bring it word upon word. Somebody that God's talked to that recognizes their day and its message. First, he sent a prophet. And the prophet was the first fruit of this ministry. Thank God we had a prophet. I preached what he preached. I prophesied what he prophesied. But it didn't stop there. It went into a bride. And thank God ministers picked that thing up and come in here and preached to me and told me who I was. Oh, I believe I actually can forgive sin. Oh, that might shock you. I believe I can remit and retain sin, Brother Isaiah. And it's not because I'm so special as a human being. I got a revelation from the Son of Man that tells me that's what I'm supposed to do. I believe people can treat me good and find a way to heaven. I believe people can treat me bad and find a way to hell. That's how much the Son of Man has made me believe who I am. I believe I have power to execute judgment on the face of the earth. Because that's what the Son of Man told me I could do. He said the Son of Man has power to execute judgment. The only way Brother Moore could come in here and feel comfortable marrying somebody that's been married before is he ran into the Son of Man. You weren't going to get that under the Son of God ministry. You weren't going to get that under Malachi 4 ministry. It took the Son of Man to show up, to come down here and say, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Oh, let me slow down. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I thank God for the Son of Man ministry. The balancer. Full of grace and truth. You walk. We walk out of here. Not you. I do too. I'm gonna time if we face tomorrow. I believe some man told me the rapture happened tonight. So if I wake up tomorrow, and rapture hadn't, you know, fullness of the rapture hadn't happened yet, I'm gonna walk to work with an understanding that God's walking to work. I'm gonna walk to work, drive to work, walk in those doors. Thinking of myself, not in a boastful, arrogant human way, but this place is blessed that I'm here. It's profitable because I'm here. It's making money so it can pay me, so I can do the work of the Lord. You say, that's awful bold, Jeremiah. I'm just telling you, I've been around the Son of Man. He's here to do a job. He's got to do a job while he's got time to do his job. And it's not about my natural job or my natural bill or natural payment, natural salary. It's all about his work and what he's trying to accomplish. He's not afraid of the law like we are because he knows he's about his Father's business. As long as you're about your Father's business, you don't worry about the law so much. All right. St. John, the first chapter. Let me start before I give it all up. See, the Son of St. John, the first chapter. Because what I'll do, what the Son of Man does sometimes. He'll not read a scripture. And then we'll get in trouble for that, too. But I don't say that to altogether make a joke out of it. Because I do believe in being respectful. I do believe in the Word of God. I do believe we should have a witness for everything we preach. If it don't come out of the Bible, it ain't the truth. I believe it. That Son of Man taught me that. Son of Man said, these hidden mysteries that you got, don't even say they're on the outside of the book. They're on the inside. It has to be on the inside because you can't add or take away. All we've learned in this day and hour is how to read between the lines, so to speak. But it's in the book. It has to be in the book. St. John, the first chapter, very familiar scripture. Going to start with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jumping down to verse 14. And the Word, that Word we just said was that was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, that he cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, I thank God for that. Amen. My title tonight is Grace and Truth. Amen. You say, what's that have to do with marriage and divorce? To me, everything. Because for what Brother Moore preached Sunday, you couldn't have got that without grace and truth. The truth told us it wasn't so from the beginning. The truth told us that you shouldn't get divorced. The truth tells us how to have a right marriage. The truth tells us for what kind of mate we ought to look for. The truth tells us that it's a bigger picture and greater picture. The truth tells us how to balance this thing out. But thanks be to God, when I don't match it in the natural, grace gives me a way out. Oh, that gets me excited. I'm thankful for truth, Brother Deskins. You shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Amen. Oh, you can never overemphasize the importance of revelation, brother. Amen. Branham says, well, what's the revelation of the truth? the Word of God.
Amen.
It's what gets us through everyday life. It's what I was starting my message with. I thank God for being around the ministry of the Son of Man. Yeah. Why? Because He was giving me word upon word upon word, giving me the truth, yes, letting me know who I am, telling me there's no condemnation, taking the shackles off me so I feel like I can actually walk and live
Amen.
For God the way I'm supposed to.
Amen.
Oh, it's truth. I loved how Brother Moore said that Sunday. God didn't change His word. God never changes His mind about His word. Even the permissive will, Brother Branham said, God uses permissive will, but makes it work out for His perfect will. Oh, all God did was said, I'm going to permit divorce, or I'm going to permit you to go as you are. But you know what's so great about it? He makes that work out for His perfect will. Because you know what He's thinking? That's my elect seed down there caught in that situation. That's the one I foresaw that wanted me. That's the one that's come for me and it's coming back to me. I got to make a way out. I got to permit something. I got to make this work. Oh, I could see if they get together, they're going to be able to serve God better together than apart. Oh, God has ways to permit things and give us grace and truth. All for the glory of His purpose.
Amen.
Oh, I want to keep saying it that way. See, sometimes breaking these laws the way that sometimes we talk like we do is not just to break a law to break a law. To live bad, to live bad. Oh, I'm going to plan on preaching on that a little bit. I believe in the truth. I believe in living good. I believe, maybe God, I'll tell you what God's been talking to me. I've been sitting right here. You should do better. You should have a desire to serve God. You should want to be an example to your brothers and sisters around the world. You should want to help somebody else. That's the truth, people. If you haven't heard, that's what God's telling me. Jeremiah, you can step up a little bit better. Do a little bit more. And you know, my desire is to do that thing. That's what I have in my heart. But it's not because of law and fear. It's because I love Him. I love God. I serve Him out of love, not out of fear. So we don't just break these laws to break them. They have a purpose when you're breaking a law. Anytime Jesus went and broke a law, He had a purpose. Not just to be bad because He could get away with everything. He was doing something for the betterment of the kingdom of God. That's just me, my way of saying to help balance it for you. Because the way the devil and the critical take it, you're just giving people an excuse to do bad. There's none good but God anyhow, at first. But no, God, the Son of Man, can go on the scene and say, I'm going to marry you. I'm not telling you anything different than Brother Moore told you Sunday morning and Sunday night. Oh, you say, why are you going to marry him, Brother Moore? He answered it to you. They're going to help each other serve God. He didn't worry about that law. He's worried about God's purpose, His real purpose, the Word of God.
Amen.
Thank God for grace and truth.
Amen.
Thank God for a balance.
Amen.
He said it Sunday, the opening of the seals brought this balance. Because before the opening of the seals, all you had was the written word. And in the written word was a bunch of thou shalt and thou shalt not. A bunch of law. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The law really was not God's original way. It's grace. Brother Branham said Israel wanted the law. God gave him grace when He sent him a deliverer to bring him out of Egypt. He sent him grace when He sent the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to show him the way and manna from heaven. But they wanted something they could do. So He gave them the law. But really, God knew we couldn't keep the law. He knew we couldn't keep the law. He knew that He was about to make a way out. And it's even what helps Him manifest all His attributes.
Right.
We needed a grace giver. We needed a redeemer.
Amen.
We needed a savior.
Amen.
We needed forgiveness.
Amen.
And God had that in Him to give us.
Right.
But He knew we weren't going to be out. And I was, you know, we had preached grace. You take us back 20, 15 years ago. I don't know. We had quotes up here printed out. We had them memorized. So I went back. I was looking up some of the old ones that you all will know. But in Dune, I had fun. I was just going up and down the message. And Brother Branham made a comment. He said, there's no way out with the law. I'm paraphrasing. He says, it doesn't give you any way out. It just says, thou shalt not do this or else. It didn't say at the end, oh, if you do it, you get a way out. It's just telling you what you can and cannot do. It puts you in jail, so to speak. It locks you up. The only way out was for Jesus Christ to come and pay the price, to pay it all, to bring us grace for grace, full of grace and truth. That was the only way out. That's the only way you're going to get out. But the opening of the seals, why we needed it, is all we had was the written word that was full of thou shalt and thou shalt not. But when he opened the book and we were able to see our name in there and see people that we didn't think could make it in there, so to speak, and see classes of people getting in that we didn't think was worthy, we could read our names and see the whole story and read between the lines. We said, wait a minute here. The Son of Man brought grace the first time. What do you think he's going to bring the second time? He's full of grace and truth again. And it brought a balance to this message. And the opening of the seals was part of what done that. Amen. Brother Branham, when he preached marriage support, Brother Moore had one quote. He always gave credit for the opening of the seals that helped him be able to preach that. Right. Now here's another place. This is from this day the scripture is fulfilled. That morning when those seven angels come down and blasted the earth, the rocks flew every way. Seven angels stood there and said, return back to Jeffersonville from where you come from, for the seven seals of the seven mysteries will be opened. And here we are today. Understanding serpent seed. In a few days, if God willing, we'll understand the correctness of marriage and divorce. And all these things that God has opened, every seal, the mystery since the foundation of the world. There's another quote. Said in different ways, different places. Brother Bram says, the way I got correctness of the marriage and divorce is because of the opening of these seals. He was able to give grace and truth. He was able to give grace. He was able to say, go as you are. Because if you study this message, he got asked about marriage and divorce before 1965. He got asked about it in the 50s. He got asked about it in the early 60s. And never in those cases could he fully come out and say, go as you are. And at the early part, he said, I don't see a way. You can't do it. Later, as he got close, he said, God's made ways before, but I still don't know how to tell you, but I just know, hang on. But it wasn't until God came down with the open of the seals and talked to him about it that he could step out and give you grace and truth. Oh, thank God for grace and truth. If we didn't have it, we'd still be locked. We'd still be worried about condemnation. We'd still be worried about being caught in the act of adultery. Oh, it would be a bad situation, Brother Destin. But like I start off with, I thank God for being around the Son of Man, Brother Moore. Oh, to become the Son of Man, you got to meet the Son of Man. And I ran across this path one day, like the little woman at the well, and it quickened it to me, and I recognized who I was talking to, and I said, behold, come see a man that told me all things. Oh, I'm excited about that. I'm excited to have grace and truth. I'm excited to have a balance in this message. Because people are afraid. We don't think that. That's about half of why people do what they do. Out of fear. That's why you can go to some churches. And 50% of out of fear is why they got certain things to do, a certain way they do it. Because there's a have to. If I don't, this. And there's pride in it. Because I know we all have experienced. We've lived according to the law. I don't want anybody to think I don't do it. I got pride. And that's human nature in some ways. I get it, but that's not the right way. The right way is what they were testifying about, getting a revelation, getting the quickening in your life, getting the dynamics in your life, and actually serving God out of love, Brother Moore. That's why Brother Branham even used that example. He said, if I was going to travel overseas, me and my wife, we don't get together. You better not do this. You better not do this. You better not do this. No. That's just law. He said, even if I did, I believe she'd forgive me because she loves me. But because I love her and she loves me, we trust each other. And I don't do it because I love her. That's how it works. That's how you serve God, out of love. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not do this. is all summed up, Paul said, in love thy neighbor as thyself. That's how you're supposed to live, by revelation of God talking to you. Let me read you another quote. I don't know. I'm sure Brother Moore definitely remembers, because he remembers everything Brother Schultz said. But I don't know if you remember one Wednesday night, I think it was. Brother Schultz sat there, and I'm sure some of you remember, he said, you know, the law really was for the Jews. It wasn't really even for the Gentiles. I've believed it ever since he said it. But let me read you something. I think you might like it. This is 1964. Then Jesus came and called. Brother Branham says, to me, my faith is in the Word of God, what God has said to be truth. All other things that contrary to that, as though it is not so. I don't say it isn't so, but to me it's contrary to this, so it isn't so. He's saying even when it looks like it is, the Word's still right. And we find today, listen to these words, we find today so many people base their faith upon something. Up on some ism, or some happening, or something. But to me, it's got to be the Word of God, and the Word that He promised for this day. The Word, now listen, the Word He promised for this day, not the law. Ouch. Promised on the Word for this day, not the law. The law was for the Jew years ago. Today, we're in the realms of grace where we're living above the law. A man that's living in grace has no law. There is no law to grace. How can you condemn me for running a stoplight here, which the city has done give me a right to run any stoplight I wish to? See, you couldn't. There's no law to condemn me. As long as I'm in Christ, I'm free from the law.
Amen.
But listen to this nice balance coming. I love it. I'm above the law because I'm in His grace. He's put that confidence in me that I wouldn't do anything that's wrong, or He wouldn't have given me that grace.
Amen.
Say, what does that mean, Jeremiah? God never really meant the law to be what governs your life.
Yes, sir.
He meant for Him to be able to speak to you. And you get a revelation.
Amen.
And you serve Him out of love.
Amen.
That's what it was always going to be.
Amen.
That's why Brother Brent said he could trust you, because he knows a real believer will hear the Word of God and amen the Word of God.
Right.
And their desire will be naturally to want to serve God.
Amen.
You say, Jeremiah, you said I'm going to do everything perfect? No. But you will serve God in the way that He wants you to serve Him. That's the way He's always intended it to be. A love affair. A love relationship. He knew you couldn't keep the law. He gave you grace the whole way. We're in the realms of grace. Grace and law cannot exist at the same time. What's so great about that? It's why you can say, I can't live good enough to make it. We haven't said, what, bad enough to miss it. Not because I'm trying to live bad. It's just that there's no law that can put me in hell. That's not what salvation is based upon.
Amen.
Now, am I telling you to go do anything you want? No. I'm telling you, like Brother Moore told you Sunday, serve God out of love. Serve Him because He's asking you to do something. We should all want to do that.
Amen.
When He talks to you with a personal relationship, you want to answer Him. That's how we're asked to do this thing. Walk according to love. Faith works by love. But I still got to sit here and say, like Brother Branham, thank God we're in the realms of grace, because I fall short, so to speak. I mess up. I break that law, Brother Moore. But thank God grace and truth came along the way and set me or made me free.
Amen.
The law was for the Jew. They asked for it. Never really meant for the Gentile. Gentile is going to serve God out of love. God could come and say, I don't really want you doing that. You're going to say, amen. Because you're a believer. You love Him. You want to serve Him. You're going to turn quickly to the Word. Hey, do this. Do that. It's not what everybody else does. Brother Moore and Jeremiah are going to be exactly like. They should sit the same way. Act the same way. Run their home the same way. It's not that either. It's a personal relationship with God speaking directly to you.
Amen.
Talking to you. And you're serving Him out of love.
Yes.
Why am I talking about this? I'm trying to just give you a little foundation for a few other scriptures I'm about to read, where Jesus, kind of purposely with purpose, wrote the law. Because, you know, I told you Son of Man's not popular. And what Brother Moore was saying Sunday night about marrying black to white or persons already married, you got to have a revelation to be able to do that. That's all I'm going to say. I ain't going to put more on it than that. You better have heard from God.
That's right.
And it's not going to be popular.
No.
People aren't going to understand it. Because the most people can do is go in here and get law or in the quote books and get black and letter. And if it doesn't match exactly to the black and letter, exactly to the T, the exact way he said it, they don't know how to move.
Amen. That's right.
People are afraid
Amen.
To make a move, Brother Moore,
Amen.
When we're the people that's got to make a move to where we're getting out of here.
Amen.
I ain't got time to worry about all the law and how somebody's living. Come and go with me. If you can eat what I'm giving to you, if you can draw from this water, you will never thirst again, period. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. It's not what you can keep and what you can't keep. It's the fact that you can hear from God and amen to every word of God, recognizing your day and its message. Oh, I got to be able to move on that.
Amen.
Otherwise, you know what I'll be doing? I'll try to be getting this all ready for the rapture. You better get baptized first. You get baptized second. You need to live good for 10 years. You got to live good for 10 years. If you mess up, come to the altar. I'll be trying to think we're going to slow down the rapture, Brother Moore. I got to have enough faith to say we're going. We're going across. Drop your creeds. Drop your dogmas. Burn that, what you got from Pentecost, so to speak, as Brother Branham said. Burn it up. Die to your thinking. Step into the Son of Man ministry. It's time to get out of here. I ain't got time to wait on everybody. I think I'm going to be popular with everybody. Everybody's going to like what I say. No, I'm full of grace and truth, and I got to step on what God has revealed to us in this day and hour.
Amen.
It's not new. It's not something we're coming up with, some new revelation. It ties exactly what the prophet brought, but you got to be able to step out on this grace and truth, or you ain't going to make a move. You'll be afraid to breathe. You say, that's silly. It's silly you because you've only seen us. Silly you because you see us. Where we, you guys, we take it for granted. We get out behind this mic right here. We do it pretty freely. And we don't believe in women preachers, and we would rebuke it if we saw one. We know what most message churches, they'd be afraid to do it, afraid to open it, didn't know what people were going to say, afraid what they're going to say. Oh, a woman just even testified, and thank God, like the Lisa didn't even talk about the church age book. That's too close to preaching. They're afraid to move. When God's blessing us and talking to us. And I don't know about you, people get up here and talk about what they did for the Lord. It blesses me. It's a blessing. It helps me along the way. I haven't even read page 17 and 34 this week, and my wife beat me to it. That blesses me. That helps me. Thank God for a wife that wants to serve God with me. But I wouldn't have got that blessing tonight if God didn't say, get up here and testify. Thank God the Son of Man says, I'm not afraid to let the Holy Ghost move in the service and talk to us. Versus a bunch of code of rules where people are afraid to move and you can only get up when they call your name on a piece of paper. They already know who's going to sing and how many songs there's going to be and the order of the songs. I want God to be able to call, can you sing this song? Can you do this? That's the kind of God I serve. That's why I start off, I'm thankful for the Son of Man ministry, because we got more freedom, but right down the line, than anybody I know. Some people are shocked we have that mic up there, and we've been so taught we'd be shocked somebody didn't get up and testify. We feel like something's wrong with the service. Bro, Destin be rebuking you. He's done it before. You ain't moving enough. You ain't jumping enough. You're down too much. What's wrong with you? Nobody testifying. Am I the only one going to testify? That's how far we've come. The other people coming in here, oh my God, they let their women get up. And I'm not making a mockery out of it. There's a place for a female, and there's a place for the male. And we know it quite well. We've been taught in here. If a woman got up here and tried to preach, Brother Moore, take care of it. Don't worry about it. All I'm trying to say, we've been so afraid to move, our women can't even testify. We can't even have drums in the church. Thank God we can move a little bit and serve God in freedom and enjoy our revelation and the stimulation that we get there from it. That only happens because we got grace and truth.
Amen.
That only happens because the Son of Man's on the scene.
Right.
That only happens because a preacher heard from God and come in here and broke it down to you. It only happens because Brother Brandon went to the mountain and said, God gave me permission to come down here and tell you to go as you are. Oh, you say you can only use that for marriage divorce. Oh, you can only use that for that one church. That's what some of them said. That's only for Jeffersonville. That's for me. I'm one of the people. I'm one of the believers. And like we were saying Sunday, marriage and divorce is just one condition. There's many conditions. And I thank God he's made a way out of those conditions for me. And I'm not afraid to accept them. I'm not afraid to walk right into them. Because I got grace and truth. Thank God I do. Now I want to turn to Mark, the third chapter. Now, I preached some of these scriptures probably about 10 or 15 years ago. Because the same Son of Man that preached to us Sunday, same one has been preaching to me for a long time. Now, it's gotten brighter than what I had it 10 or 15 years ago. I see more about it. But this ain't altogether new. We've been getting taught this for quite a while here at this church. Mark, the third chapter. Verse 1, and he entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. It was what the law said to do. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, because he discerned them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he, because they were afraid. They didn't have the revelation he had. They didn't have the Son of Man in the ministry like he had. They weren't full of grace and truth like he was. And he looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts.
Amen.
Now think about that for just a minute. I'm going to take my time a little bit. We still got 30 minutes before 9 o'clock. Those Sadducees and Pharisees knew the law and kept the law probably better than just about anybody in the time. They were standing before Jesus, and like the young rich ruler could have said, I haven't killed, I haven't done this, I've done this, I've kept this. If the Son of Man was in front of him, says, you guys grieve me. You're so bound by that law, you're not even going to let me heal somebody and help them to save a life. Because you're so bound by your law. That's what angered him. Hardness of your hearts, you're so bound and can't move. And yeah, I know the law is right, and I'm not here to change the law. You know what really stuck out to me Sunday, Brother Moore, and it stuck out to me in all these scriptures I'm going to use. Anytime that Jesus broke the law, he never changed the law. Not anywhere in these scriptures did he ever say the law was wrong. He's not one place, because he knows the word's right. He just did what he needed to do for the hour he's living in, the condition he found himself in, to fulfill the work of God.
Amen.
Oh, I like that. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. You weren't supposed to heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus saw somebody that needed help. He saw somebody's life that he could help. He saw somebody's life he could save. He wasn't just doing it, just haphazardly do it, because he was taking the law lightly. He didn't even sit here and tell you the law was wrong. Keeping the Sabbath was wrong. But he was full of grace and truth. He had a revelation. He looked at that man and said, I'm going to help him.
Amen.
Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath?
Amen.
Another way to say that, is it okay if I break this law as long as I'm helping somebody serve God?
Amen.
That's really what he was saying.
Amen.
And you know what? His revelation told him it is.
Amen.
It's okay. I'm going to help him. And your guys' heart's so hard and you're afraid to move, you can't even help the people standing right before you. You're so full of law.
Amen.
But I'm full of grace and truth. Yeah, I know the law is right. And my preference is we follow the law.
Amen.
But when I got to step forth to help somebody along the way, and it doesn't look so right to you, I'm going to do it anyhow because I'm sent to do that. I wasn't sent to condemn the world. I was sent to save the world, to heal the brokenhearted, to set captives free. I'm going to do my job. And he stepped forward and said, is it lawful to do good? He knew they were going to accuse him. But he's so full of grace and truth, Brother Moore, that he just thought and said, I'm going to help the guy. And he walked right on. Accusers kept accusing him. Accusers didn't understand it.
Amen.
And it wasn't Jesus just haphazardly doing it, playing around God's law. I can do anything I want to do. He had a purpose.
Amen.
And he just said, I ain't going to be so bound by the law that I can't help somebody out.
Amen.
You say what you're saying, Jeremiah. I'm just backing Brother Moore. What he told you Sunday night. I'm going to marry somebody in this condition because they're going to help him serve God. But the law says you can't. It's just a type, is what the Son of Man said. It's just a type. Yeah, my preference is we all follow the type. Paul said his preference was we all stay single. How many in here have done that? If we're going to throw stones. Paul said, my preference is you like me. You serve God better. Stay single. But you know what Jeremiah did? I was the other scripture. If you're going to burn, marry. So I got married. And for a lot more reasons than that. But you know what I'm saying. I'm just trying to reference the scriptures. But I'm just saying we all sometimes don't match it exactly to the T. But thank God he's full of grace and truth and gives us ways out and helps us along the way. He gave me a helpmate. Paul said, it's okay, Jeremiah, get a helpmate. Now you probably, you know what I really say? He understood when you're not married, you only have one person to worry about. It's right here. One person to feed. You don't have to worry about making money to feed anybody else. You could go run and help somebody and not eat for 8 hours instead of trying to be home at dinner. And you know what? And the other side is fine too. Being home at dinner is what we believe too. Being there right at your family. All I'm saying is Paul was just trying to say, if you're single, you don't worry about nobody else. You're just you and God doing everything. But when you're married, the Bible also says, take care of your wife. Be there at home. Run the house. There's work that goes with that. That's all that Paul was trying to say. But the point I'm trying to make here is Jesus did what Brother Branham did. Jesus did what Brother Moore said Sunday night because he had a revelation full of grace and truth. And you can only do this when God talks to you. You only do it when the fullness of the word's on the scene. You only do it when the opening of seals happened down this day because you can't move any farther than what the word's told you to move. That's the only reason why Malachi 4 couldn't do it. Word hadn't been open to him yet to be able to do it. He could only say, I preached what Paul preached. And if to do anything else, he would have been wrong. He did exactly what he's supposed to do. Then Jesus came. A greater than John showed up. Full of grace and truth. Moving by revelation. Moving, not afraid to move. Healing on the Sabbath, not afraid to do it. Because he knew, I got to work while I have time. I'm only here so long. I got to do God's work while I have a chance. That's what Jesus was doing all along the way. That's how God can work. I had a few more points to make, and then I'll get out of your way. Questions answered in 1964. This was before. This is the other quote I was referencing, but this was before marriage and divorce. Now listen to the question. Brother Branham, if a man has been married and divorced, isn't that awful? This is what we see so many. I'm not saying nothing against the people. That's just on people's minds. They're so troubled. The rapture, people used to not think so much about that. It wasn't so much of it, but now it's just blasted around the world. And people read these things in the scripture, and people elected out there is coming to look at it, and they see it, and they're sincere, and they want to know. That's the reason why I want to answer it just as much sense as I can give it to you. Has been married and divorced and then remarried of a woman who has been married and divorced and then married to them. These two can be married in God's sight. Are they married in God's sight? How can both or one of them be in the rapture? Listen to Brother Brandon's first answer. How? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. The question is, can they be in the rapture? Divorce each one of them. Divorce each one of them has a living companion. Then they married again. Both of them married again. Now, this woman with a living husband, this man has a living wife. Now they've got children and so forth. They want to come up to God. Can they go in the rapture? That'll be up to the Heavenly Father. I couldn't answer that. I saw one thing. The Bible said they shall be called an adulterer. This is what I was telling you. The Bible said, also, an adulterer will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Just what I told you. And then that's all I can say. I know that just kills me to say that. But I can't say but what the word says. I must stay with that. I hope that's all wrong. There's places in the Bible. I'm not advising you. Please, but let me just give you a little scripture. If you're happy to live with your husband, living happy with your wife, please remain that way, will you? Just because I told you don't leave the little children without a home and things like that. Listen to this next statement. God has made restitutions and places for people that did things wrong. You remember, this is an important one for us to remember, Jesus said of David when he was hungry, he entered into the temple of God and ate the showbread, which was only lawful for the priest, and is found blameless. The priest also blasphemed the Sabbath on the Sabbath day and are found blameless. And a greater than the Sabbath was there. So let's just leave it to God and just go live, just live the way you are. Live for Christ now. There might be a chance of you getting in. Two wrongs will never right in one. Just go on and live the way you are if you're happy together. You might have the wrong companion, but I'll say this. If you got the wrong companion in this life, you'll never have it over in the other one. All wrongs will be made right. Now that was 1964. All he had up to that point was a written word about the thing. He finally was able, because in the 50s he didn't even say there's restitutions. To be able to even say there might be restitutions was a step. But I use the quote and I say, man, it's been in this Bible all over the place where God has blessed things that didn't seem like he should bless. Permitted things that it didn't seem like he should permit. David did eat the showbread, and he wasn't supposed to, but God didn't kill him like he said he would. You want to know why? Let's go read another scripture. Mark, the second chapter. Stay right there in Mark. Verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, I'm in the wrong place, sorry. Mark 23:2-23. And it came to pass, they went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. There he was on the Sabbath day again. And his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of the corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have you never read what David did? When he had a need. That's a big statement. David had a need. It ended up being okay because he had a need, even though he wasn't supposed to do it. And was hungered. He and they that were with him, and how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and he did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also them which were with him. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm just trying to show you examples of why the Son of Man can come in here and talk so bold. People afraid to move, Brother Deskins, throughout churches around the world. They just live in a code of rules, and God bless them. They're sincere people. But when I say live in a code of rules, I'm not meaning that in a sweet way. They don't know. They're afraid. It's if I don't do it, I'm going to hell. I can't move. I can't help somebody. They don't even know how to help somebody in their own family. Somebody in conditions that we know aren't the right way, but God can make ways when there seems to be no way. Somebody in their family that messed up. Oh, you can't ever preach when they preach to bless the whole entire world. Oh, you can't do this because you've done that. They have conditional. And thank God for an unconditional covenant. Thank God for a Son of Man ministry full of grace and truth that could come on the scene and say, I'm going to eat some corn because I got disciples with me and they got work to do and they need to eat to be able to do it. And we're going to get the job done. Eat this corn and let's go get the job done. Oh, we've been hearing this for a long time. This ain't new to us. But it makes me rejoice when I think about it. Once again, he didn't say the law was wrong. He just stepped forward with grace and truth and said, we got work to do for the kingdom of God. That's the way I want to be. That's the kind of revelation the Son of Man has brought to us. That's how we should be acting, because the Son of Man is right here with us again. Somebody told me this week, God told me, he says, we have too much law telling us what we can't do, but don't check with grace to see what we can do to help the kingdom. That's pretty powerful. Now, that statement's not saying go live any way you want and take haphazard the word of God. No, people. serve God, be an example. I sincerely believe it. I told you, God's been saying to do it. What God's trying to say is we're so bound sometimes by the law around us, and I keep repeating it, but I just want to make it real, that we can't even make a move to help the kingdom of God. And forget that Jesus was full of grace and truth. And forget to consult with that grace, so to speak, and say, is this good for the kingdom? The Son of Man hath power to forgive sins, is what the Bible says.
Right.
Brother Branham put that in the bride in the rising of the Son. He said it was in the Word made flesh in the groom. It's the Word made flesh in the bride, because he was getting accused for marriage and divorce. He said, see another Pharisee.
Right.
Son of Man's on the scene.
Right.
Knows how to balance these things. Knows how to judge these things. Knows how to free what needs to be loose and bind. Has that job and knows how to do it.
That's right.
I thank God for that kind of ministry. Because it's what's allowed me to be successful, so to speak, or be able to live the way I'm supposed to live and do the work for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's the point I want to make. The law wasn't even for us really anyhow. Keep remembering, Paul said the law is not for a righteous man. We serve God out of love. We serve God because he's asked us to do some things and not do other things. But when we're sent to help the kingdom of God and get a rapture and go to the highways and the byways and bring them in, which was saving time, but you get what I'm saying. What he's trying to say is, don't go to the church people because they didn't want it. Go get the people they don't think is good. I'm not afraid to do that. I'm not afraid to go where they don't think I should go. Come and go with me to my Father's house. This day we've had the Son of Man on the scene again that has given this kind of authority to us, and thank God we have that revelation. But I will make you aware. Not many people do. They're not going to believe it. They're not going to accept it. They're going to accuse you like they did Jesus. They're going to say you're taking too much upon yourself. You're just trying to make an excuse to do this. But what you realize with a real revelation, I ain't making an excuse to do nothing. The Word of God is right in all cases. That's why the Son of Man says, when I'm preaching on marriage and abortion, you're the one that's the guilty, say amen. Then the Son of Man will come in and say, but God made a way. I'm permitting this.
Amen.
Thank God for this kind of stuff.
Yes.
Brother Jimmy used you and your marriage as an example on Sunday night. That broke laws. I ain't gonna say much more about that. That broke our tradition. Well, I'll make it real. It broke mine. But thank God the Son of Man was on the scene. Thank God grace and truth was on the scene. Hey, this is gonna help somebody serve God. I'm gonna move forward. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Jesus answered that pretty clearly for us. It is. It's okay. I won't read it. I'll just reference the scripture for you. St. John 8, 3 through 11. It's the woman caught in the act of adultery. And I read it this week, and those people that caught her in the act of adultery actually read him the law, how she should be stoned to death. And what stuck out to me again, Jesus didn't say that scripture was wrong. Because he knows God doesn't change his mind about his word. So he didn't try to change the word. He just got down, started writing, looked around, because, you know, we always say he probably was writing what they'd done. Said what they broke. Said, he who's without the first sin, go ahead and cast a stone. And it says none of them, they started dropping the stone, had to walk away, because they remember what they had done. And then the Son of Man stood up, knowing that the law says she should be stoned, and she was caught in the very act.
Amen.
He couldn't even hide it. What even hearsay? Drug her out right in front of him. But had enough grace and truth and revelation, Brother Moore. He said, where's the unaccusers? I don't see any. Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Oh, that gets me excited. Oh, that helps me be more free. Oh, there you want that freedom again, Jeremiah. No, you don't know me. I come to church every Wednesday, every Sunday because I love God and I'm trying to serve God. But I'm here to tell you, I don't do everything right, and I thank God he's made a way for me that I can stand here tonight and say I'm one of them.
Amen.
I thank God he made a way that my loved ones that are not even here with me tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty big permission right there now. Because the Bible says, gather thyself together. Where the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered together. But thank God he put a little token in between the lines.
Amen.
Said, claim your loved ones. Thank God, as a Son of Man, I'm standing here today saying my loved ones are going with me, even if they're not here tonight.
Amen.
Thank God I can marry people that's been married before, because it's going to help them serve to God.
Amen.
Thank God I can read quotes where Brother Branham talked about Martin Luther King and marrying different colors and races and not be like the rest of the people and be so locked down. I can stand up here and have a bounce on this thing and set people to say, go as you are and do what you need to do to serve God. Oh, I'm thankful for that, people. It may not be real to you, but it's real to me. Because I'm a person that's like the rest of the people. I'm questioning God. Am I worthy here? Can I do this here? Because I know I'm like them. I may not have broke marriage and divorce, but I'm in this condition. I'm in this condition. I'm in this condition. I'm in this condition. Lord, can I go? I'm in this condition. I'm in it. Can I go? And every time he says, Jeremiah, I made a way. I don't even see it. I've cast it in my sea of forgetfulness. I paid for it at Calvary. And it's not even a charge to you. You've been born again. You have a new husband. That's what I see. You're spotless. You're sinless. You're perfect. Oh, my. I don't want to keep going too long on you. I've said so much, but I've seen people come to the altar. And you know what? We even believe in an altar call here and there. We believe in saying, Lord, I want to do better. Help me. Help me become more surrendered to you. We believe in that strongly. But what I've never been taught here is come up here out of condemnation altogether because I'm afraid I'm not going to make it. And I'm up here asking for a bunch of repentance. That's not what he's done for me. He's come in here and say, that's not what it's about. It's about a love affair between you and me. Consecrating your life to me. You go on the altar for that. Let's talk. But I've made you free from that condemnation. I paid the price. Go as you are. Oh, I'm thankful for that. Brother Moore, I've been going to church here since I've been 8 years old, and I haven't always listened, and I didn't have a Revelation 8, but I paid attention to what was going on quite a bit. God had a purpose in it. All I know is the Son of Man, since I've been here, has done things contrary to the way people thought he could. But all it's done for this little church is made us stronger, more powerful, in the grace of God, knowing who we are, still wanting to serve God. Yeah. They've given me so much freedom, but I'm coming to church every Wednesday, every Sunday, try to get here early. I read my Bible, I pray, and I'm not going down a list of, see, we don't have this list of, I'm just telling you, I serve God. We serve God, I want to serve God. And I know I can't live bad enough to make it and good enough to make it bad enough to miss it. I know that if I miss church two times in a row, I'm not going to hell. I know that if I go out tomorrow and fall flat on my face, I'm not going to hell. I know I could drink, smoke, do this, whatever, not go to hell. But there's so many things I don't do because he's on the inside and I have a love affair with him. And like I've always said, you think I'm bad, you better thank God I got God because he's the only thing standing between me and hell. I love God. I want to serve God. But I also know you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And he's made a way every time he's needed to make a way. And who he's made a way for is his elect. He wasn't willing any man should perish, but the rest didn't want the pardon. But he's made a way for you and me. He said, no man shall be able to pluck you out of my hand. Thank God for that grace and truth. Thank God for that ministry. Oh, we don't play around with the word here. We don't just choose what we want and not what we want. Son of Man will come in here, I'll talk to us, so he'll rebuke the socks off of you.
Right.
Amen. He'll look at you right in the face, call you out by name like he did Peter, said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Yeah. Right. He ain't afraid to call out names. He'll walk right up to you, rebuke you just as much, he'll give you that grace. He'll give you truth. There's a house of correction.
Amen.
He'll go through the temple and whip them out.
Amen.
He'll get angered at people and rebuke them because they have a hardness of the heart.
Amen.
He's done that and made it strong too. He'll tell you to work. Tell you to go sweat a little bit. Don't be lazy. Be a man. Be a woman. He'll tell you all those things. But at the end of it all, when I maybe fall short of some of those things, he makes a way out. And he's given me guidance right down the straight line. Right in the middle of the word. Not outside the word. Right in the middle of the word. This marriage and divorce thing Brother Moore said Wednesday wasn't outside the word. Jesus said it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Right in the word. And that's why it can work, is the Son of Man's on the scene. He gave that prophet permission to go down and tell them go as they are.
Right.
The only time that happens is to open other seals. This hour. The only other time it really happens is when Jesus was here the first time. John the Baptist didn't have all that. He would have stoned the woman and would have been doing his job the way he was supposed to do his job. That's what he's supposed to do. He was to stay with the word. Like Brother Branham said, all I have is the word right now. Then Jesus came. You know who came down in 1963? Then Jesus came. That here's a book full of grace and truth. Thank God we have that understanding. Thank God we have that truth. I'm going to read one more quote, and I'm going to step down because just because I told you I'd read it. Anyways, this is a good one. This is birth pains. He said, now, when this word being a seed, remember the seed is only bringing forth a new life when it dies. And that's the reason it's so hard for those Pharisees to understand our Lord Jesus Christ, because they were under the law. And the law was the word of God in seed form. But when the word was made flesh and become not law, but grace. Grace and law cannot exist at the same time, because grace is so far above the law, law is not even in the picture. And therefore, it's so hard for the Pharisees to die to their law so that grace could be born, but it must go. The two laws cannot exist at the same time. Word was made flesh and was full of grace and truth. Word was made flesh and was able to say, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? The word was made flesh and healed on the Sabbath, told somebody to get up, healed the blind man, told somebody to take up your bed and walk, pick corn, all because he knew I must be about my Father's will. He wasn't so bound by everything around him that he couldn't move. Thank God for that perfect balance. Amen. Not go do anything you want. It's serve God. Do it according to his word. And then but thank God, even when you're not doing that and you mess up, he's still got grace for you. He's got grace for grace. Grace and truth, full of grace and truth. There's nothing you can do so bad. That's why I like the Bill say, there's nothing you can do so bad that you shouldn't be able to walk, that you can't walk back in here. And God will give you grace and truth. He'll rebuke you because he loves you. But I promise you, if you're his, he'll give you grace no matter how bad the devil told you it is. Don't let that, how bad it is, keep you from this house. You're running or staying away from the very thing you need. The bride of Jesus Christ. Full of grace and yeah, we might tell you you shouldn't have done it and you need to do it this way next time. You know, I always like how Brother Moore says it. Gave you the first answer. Didn't do it. Come back. I got another answer for you. First answer was, not wrong. Just like what he said Sunday. It wasn't so again, it wasn't wrong. He just said, I got another answer for now. God still made a way. Thank God for his love, mercy, and grace. God bless you. Come on, Pastor Moore.
I love a balance. I love a balance on everything. And when it comes to grace and truth, people run out of grace. God doesn't. They think they had enough. They think they can't go any further. They think, God, oh, you can't. No, God won't. God's got plenty of grace. But he's got plenty of truth, too. We're not just sitting here just sucking up grace, grace, grace. God preaches us every week, every service. Yes. He gives us truth after truth after truth. Yes. Whether we like it or not, he tells us the truth. But then when you can't even make it work right for you, he still shows you grace. I don't understand how people can feel like they can't give grace for somebody when you can't. If you don't give grace, you can't receive any grace. You know, if you say, well, you know, I can't take no more. That's the last time. That's the last straw. That's it. That's no more grace. Grace has run out. You have sinned your day of grace. And they're like, you're done. You're through. No, God's grace still covers for the bride. It takes care of every bit of it. Sometimes you come with the worst thing in the world and you think, well, Brother Moore, I gotta go down. This is a bad one. This is a bad one. Give me your best shot and tell me what it is. And I'll tell you, just stay right with the word. Because the only hope any of us have is staying with the word of God. That's it. It's nothing else. It's not your goodness, it's not my goodness. The best we can do, brother, the Bible says the best we can do is filthy rags. God ain't interested in your best. Not in that sense. He knows the best you could do is going to still require his amazing grace. And that's why Brother Branham said when we get on the other side that we're going to be over there singing Amazing Grace. Because say nobody getting over there by no other means. It won't be by your goodness, your holiness, your self-righteousness, your things you lay down, things you stop, things you start. It won't be by any of it. It's by God's amazing grace that any of us will be there, period. And so I always get tickled at people who think they're really deserving to go to heaven. None of us deserve it. It's unmerited favor. And it's favor in God's eyes. God loves you, so God's going to make a way for you. And he doesn't love some people, and he's not going to make a way for some people. But it was not because of anything that you've done. It's because of God's amazing grace. But don't take away the truth. And I always say, no matter what condition you find yourself in, always agree with the truth.
Amen.
Don't try to. I see preachers, they get in trouble sometime, and then they'll try to change the word to match their condition, and they'll preach all kind of stuff that's false as false could be, trying to justify why they did what they did. I don't care what you do, always stay with the word of God. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Brother Branham said, the zeal of the hour is I'm wrong. But it doesn't mean you can't get right. You know, when you got the zeal of the hour pushing you forward and saying, Lord, I'm wrong. I'm wrong every day. Lord, help me. Lord, push me. Lord, bring me closer. Lord, draw me nearer. Lord, help me to do this thing like you want me to do it. That's the heart of the bride. I think about it. I was sitting here thinking. I said, you know what? People will tell you about the stuff you do wrong, but they don't tell you about the stuff you do right. What the bride does right much more outweighs
Amen.
Her little problems. But the devil ain't going to tell you, oh, praise God you come to church. Praise God you hung in there. Praise God you still believe that. Praise God you are believe. He ain't going to tell you that. He ain't going to tell you the part that you slipped up, you messed up, you were short here, you were short there. And if you think about it, in a day's time, you do a whole lot more right
Amen.
Than you do wrong.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
And it's not even about your right and wrong. I'm just trying to give you some ammo to defeat the devil with. Because I don't care if you wake up in the morning and you're so good that your feet don't touch the ground and you're just walking on clouds all day long. And when you lay down at night, hallelujah, it was a good day. That's still filthy rags. So, but don't let the devil get you down on the things that you did wrong when you do a whole lot more good. That's why you're here. I mean, we don't have to be here. It's Wednesday night. We could be at home, but we choose to be here. We want to be here. And Jesus did the things he did because he wanted to do those things. And I love that scripture, Jeremiah. And Jesus said, when asking him, says, should I heal him and on the Sabbath? I was thinking, you know, it said to heal or kill. I thought, I need to go home and look and see what they did on the battlefield. Did they take the Sabbath off? I think that's the question Jesus was asking. You know, is it a bad thing to heal or kill on the Sabbath? You know, when you're in a war, you don't get Sunday off. They don't get the weekend off. They don't fight Monday through Friday. You fight 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. When you got an enemy, when I don't even care if you believe in the Sabbath. On the battlefield, there is no Sabbath. You just fight. Could you imagine if we just took Saturday off and put our swords down and our weapons down? Well, the enemy, all they know is, let's get them on Saturday. So it's not about, and that's what Jesus asked him, says, is it good to heal or kill on the Sabbath? And Jesus, it seemed like every time he turned around, he was doing something on the Sabbath. He couldn't do nothing during the week. He healed on the Sabbath. He resurrected on the Sabbath. He everything he did was done on the Sabbath. And I think he did it on purpose. Because the law was such that if you did anything on the Sabbath, you could be stoned. And Jesus probably looked on on Friday said, well, let's wait till tomorrow. Let's wait till tomorrow. We'll fix this tomorrow. We'll do this tomorrow. Because he knew the Sadducees and Pharisees were following him around every day, and they were just waiting for him to do something on the Sabbath. Because they then had a right by the law, according to the law, to stoning. That's what people do. They take that Bible and they make a book of laws out of it. I get so tickled at people putting the Ten Commandments on everything. It's not even for us. And people take the Bible and they try to make a whole bunch of laws in there. They got you so bogged down. And all they're doing is walking around waiting for you to do something on the Sabbath. Because they got a scripture in there that's going to condemn you. Well, then Jesus said, I got to do this because... Like, what was the other question you asked? If, which one of you in here that if you had a cow in a ditch on a Sabbath, again, would you not go get it out? In other words, common sense. The law is good. It shows you where you stand according to God's word. That's what the law does. It shows you we needed a Savior. It shows you we can't do it without Him. But then Jesus turned around and said, don't let the law kill you. If you got a cow in a ditch on the Sabbath, who in this building wouldn't get it out? Sabbath or not. But then Jesus healing on the Sabbath, they want a stoning. See, we're not even honest with the law. They think they're good, but they know they should know they're not. There's none good but God.
Amen.
So grace and truth. Thank God that we have both of them. And thank God there's a balance. The balance of grace and truth lives out right out of your house. You're full of grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. Amen. The bride in the hour that we're living in now is full of grace and truth. We do this because we want to. We love to. And we know outside of the grace of God, none of us are going. So because He's done all this for me, I want to turn around and give back what I can to Him. And if I need to pick corn on the Sabbath, I'll pick corn on the Sabbath. If I need to heal on the Sabbath, I'll heal on the Sabbath. If I need to get the cow out of the ditch on the Sabbath, I'll get the cow out of the ditch. Oh, but you know what the message says. You know what the Bible says. You know what the... Just follow grace and truth, and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. I enjoyed that, Jeremiah. Come on, musicians. Page 59, how great is our God? Come back Sunday expecting, and let's see what other truth God has for us. Now, Jeremiah, you're moving your date that you're going to to little Bethlehem to
Thursday, March 9th.
So you need to change that. We'll need to change that because... he's got a conflict there, so he's moving his date out. But keep an eye on the thing, on the announcements, because there's things coming up. And I need to get a hold of Brother Peterson again and set a time up for us on Sunday to go back up there again. We want to do that pretty soon because you're going to be gone the end of the month, and Jeremiah will get me if I do it while he's not here. He doesn't like to miss anything, so amen. So we want to set that up. Let's see, how great is our God? How great is His Word? He's the greatest one that I ever heard. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And He said, I'll go with you. Put your trust in me. Trust God. He's the only one that's trustworthy. Amen. Come back. Amen. How great is our God? How great is His Word? The greatest one that I ever heard. He rode back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, so put your trust in me. Oh, how great. great is our God. Said, I'll go with you. So put your trust.